It's Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. You're listening to episode 90. I don't know, that peanut popcorn mix? Runtime for this episode is about 49 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast with infinite strikes. My name is Jeremy.
Probably one of the last living humans to remember what a Cracker Jack is. I'm Tyler.
What's a Cracker Jack? My name is Zach.
No, dude, my mom got our family Cracker Jacks for Halloween that were to the family.
And then Ate them.
I went down the day after Halloween to get some, and she had eaten them all.
Well, I mean, that's disappointing, because Cracker Jack is actually pretty good, but...
It's not as good as Poppycock, but...
I've never actually had poppycock, but...
It's like higher-end...
I don't want to have any poppycock.
It is to Cracker Jack what Burger King is to McDonald's.
Okay. That, I feel like I understand that comparison as well as I need to.
Burger King at least pretends your burgers are grilled. They put toppings on there. Oh my god, I have a McDonald's story to tell.
What?
So I went to McDonald's, I order a quarter pounder, right?
Okay.
Everyone knows what's on a quarter pounder, right?
Like pickles and cheese...
Okay.
Pickles
and onions.
There's a key thing that we're going to get to. I ordered no onions.
Okay.
They failed to give me no onions. I'm like, there are onions. So I go to take them off. They put mayo on this. Mayo isn't on a quarter pounder.
Mayo's never been on a quarter pounder.
Is it not? I feel
like that's on
a Big Mac. But
it is on a Big Mac, which is why I don't like Big Macs.
I think the Big Mac is the only one that ever has mayo on it.
I mean, I feel like mayo has very little place on a burger anyway, but...
It has little place in life.
Or no, wait.
It's good in potato salad, and that is its only job.
The spicy chicken sandwich has mayo on it.
Yes, it does. And the McTasty or something, I don't think they have it anymore, had it.
The McEdible.
No, that's only in Colorado.
The McEdible. Was it? It's like the McPatush burger is like a fried potato patty.
Ooh.
That's the replacement for beef burgers in India.
That doesn't sound bad.
And I actually kind of wish they would have it in America because it sounds good, and I actually prefer potato to beef.
And like, have you?
Why would you prefer potato to beef? Potato didn't die to feed you.
Yes, it did.
Boiled alive.
It just didn't die in a way a sentient animal would.
It didn't feel pain.
Which, in turn,
means that
you did not eat a meal.
That's not how physics work.
Yes, it is. You have not eaten a meal unless you're eating meat with it.
You know, historically, humans have actually eaten very little meat, and in fact went entire seasons without
meat.
Top
of the food chain. Well, something has not died to feed me.
I mean, we are at the top of the food chain, but, I mean, hunting animals is hard.
What if many boffins die to bring you some potatoes?
Does it?
Now, there's an interesting question.
How would they die? Like, they get trapped in the combine while spying on the potato location? Like,
that's why I don't eat salad.
What have you been playing, Captain Carnivore? Also, chicken Caesar salad is delicious.
It has chicken in it.
It does. Clearly. It's delicious.
I do not eat
regular
lettuce because
Caesar
I do not
salad
eat
is
my
also
foodies.
Delicious.
You know, I'd read a mini-series about Captain Carnivore. So, what Alex is holding up here...
Is that a cement mix?
It's Soylent. It's a food product that is meant to be entirely subsisted off of. You mix it with water. It smells and tastes kind of like pancake mix.
It looks like
sand.
It is fully nutritionally complete. The guy who made it has been living off of that and craft beer for the past 6 months. So either that or the beer is nutritionally complete.
It smells like frosting.
Contains everything in it you need to live. And one pound bag of it is enough to feed you for a day.
Can we get it in Jetson's pill form?
Not quite yet. Unfortunately, we don't know how to compress it.
And can the pills taste like hamburgers?
It may contain all the nutrients you need, but it does not have that additional portion for the soul that you can rest easy knowing this animal died to feed me.
No, that's what the beer's for.
In the soul. Two, I don't believe the soul needs to consume the souls of others. That's vampires.
Or ghouls.
Or ghouls.
I will devour you and... Not your soul.
Like I said, that's what beer's for. Also, he introduced a concept that I find rather amusing. I actually like the idea of this stuff, but it like rips up the back of my throat, so I can't really... Like, it does a Captain Crunch effect to my whole mouth.
Oh, gods.
The silence?
Yeah. I'm the only person who's experienced that. The guy who made it up referred to food that you eat that isn't that as recreational food, and I really like the concept of that. It's like he lives off of... That and wreck food when he wants to, like, go eat something that is not Soylent. And also beer, because beer.
I mean, that's recreational drink.
Exactly. It's also got calories in it, so, you know, you could have less Soylent and more beer.
Yeah.
So.
Yay, beer.
Where anyway, Captain Carnivore.
Oh, right. Yeah, that thing. Well, I've been actually playing more games than I normally do. I started up a game on of Civ 5 on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I noticed you were playing that.
Yeah, this is when your Steam kept informing me of one of the games you were playing.
What sweet civilization did you play as?
I'm still playing it. I'm playing as one of the Indian nations. Not India, Native America Indians.
Okay.
It's not the Iroquois. I think it's the
Mayans?
No, I think it's the Seminoles.
So one of the North American Indians.
Yeah, one of the North American Indians.
Not familiar with them in Civ 5 or real life.
They're the ones that get the like horse archers, and they start with pathfinders, which give...
Cherokee? Because that's traditionally associated with Cherokee.
Well, it might be Cherokee. One of the things that they get is when you run over the neutral ruins, you can pick from a list of options that they will give you.
How is Civ 5 compared to Civ 4?
They're kind of hard to compare. They're both really, really good games. Civ 5 is harder to siege because you absolutely have to have more than one artillery piece. In Civ 4, you're like, I don't even have an artillery piece. I just have a ton of swordsmen because they get bonuses to attacking cities.
I think the military movements in Civ 5 are more fun. And you have a more active hand in establishing trade routes. And religion, instead of just being political, you found a religion and you get to choose religious bonuses, which get more powerful as you get more faith, but get weaker as
you become more secular.
Science advances. Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's actually a really, really good system. I like the game a lot. If I didn't like it, I clearly wouldn't still be playing
it. It also has neutral states that, like, want you to do quests for them. And the way you get win a diplomatic victory is through UN votes and neutral states that are your allies will always vote with you.
So, like, Switzerland can be a component of the game?
Or the Vatican, or...
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of small nations.
That's Ryan is giving it glowing reviews.
The original sucked, but they patched it, like, 12 times, and it became okay. Then they expanded it twice, and it became really good.
Yeah, the reason why I originally didn't like the game was because I played it when it first came out, when it was horrible. And then I just was like, I'm going to play Civ 4 because it is a really good game.
It wasn't horrible. It was just worse than Civ 4 in every way.
We live in an age where you can release a game and then just, like, make it better.
Yeah. World of Warcraft. StarCraft. We had that in 1998.
Good point. I mean, it's common now, though.
Yeah. Well, now it's okay to ship a game that's terrible just because you'll make it better.
I haven't played any Assassin's Creed this week. I played a bunch of Payday with Ed and Tyler because the Payday gang is back. And so we did some heists with Old Hoxton, or with New Hoxton.
Who is old alarmingly Hoxton. English.
New Hoxton, same as the Old Hoxton?
I mean, he's got the same mask.
No, he doesn't. He has a new mask. But I've been, my preferred character is now Hoxton. Because he's, as Tyler said, alarmingly British. Which is really amusing to hear him shout Dozer in his English accent that I can't emulate.
Dozer?
No, it's a...
He swears a lot more.
Which English accent is it also? Because there are like four.
It's not Cockney, but it's also not high. It's the one I don't do.
So we did a lot of those. We did the hardest rats level two we've ever done, but that was just weird.
As far as we can tell, the maps don't scale per player for difficulty because you can choose the difficulty when you choose the mission. And we chose a two-skull, which, you know, I do those on my own. And this was the hardest damn two-skull rats ever. I mean, granted, we were running outside and being morons more than usual, but not that much more than usual.
This was the hardest bank robbery we've ever done. Granted, we were running outside firing our guns in the air.
We were doing things fairly intelligently once we had one or two stupid downs. And then as a unit, we collectively went, let's stop being dumb.
And then
we
did.
Stopped being dumb, and they were still getting like, Dozer, okay, we killed it. Dozer right behind him, what the heck? That happened.
Let's play musical cloakers.
So we did that, managed to get through it, and won the mission, which was really cool. But
yeah, say that one we ended up getting 8 million on, I think, as our final payday.
The first day was really, really hard. The second day was pretty simple because we walked up, we gave them our bags of meth. They told us where to find the manual. We got the manual. We took the money for getting the meth. We put the money in our van. Then we went back to their truck where they had our meth.
And Tyler
shot everybody, took the meth.
Actually, specifically what happened is Tyler set up in the parking lot to catch bags. Ed took out a grenade launcher and shot it at the truck full of meth, killed everyone, and then they started hucking bags at me.
And then, so we went from there. Had a lot of good fun on those. Still playing a lot of League with Cody and Kevin.
Yeah, but the League season is over, huh?
Yeah, the League season
is I only made Season 1. I should go redeem my rewards. Season 1, Silver 1.
So
I went back in time. And
it's been pretty amusing because all of us got silver borders. Cody placed into silver 4 with me and Kevin.
Wow.
But ended up getting demoted into silver 5. I tried to help him in one of his promotional games, but we ended up losing, which made me sad because I was actually playing fairly well, but we couldn't carry. We didn't play well enough carry the game. I only played one game of League because I was playing Payday with you guys. They have the updated Summoner's Rift on their team builder now.
The visual update is out.
Yep.
So I've heard it looks pretty good.
Yeah, you should play some with us. Come on. And season is over. No pressure. Sweet looking new map.
And there was never any pressure.
Not for you.
You were under pressure. It was coming down on you.
Some people have had massive frame rate issues when the map first came out. I haven't noticed anything in the one game I played, but my computer could lose about 100 FPS off of it and I wouldn't even notice. Well, mine's been running about 300 on the other map.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what your monitor probably sees about 50 frames per second.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter to me. But the one game I played on it, we won. Not really due to two of our players giving up. Well, we tried to surrender, but the other members of the team disagreed, and we ended up winning, which was kind of cool. And then Ed had this Humble Bundle thing that we got a game for free.
Oh, yeah, you played it, right?
Yes, I did. It's called Insurgency. The best way I can put this in a short form is it is COD Lite. It has the same basic idea, terrorists versus American soldiers or however you want to phrase that, classes, customizable classes. Like I said, it follows everything COD has already done, but because COD has already done it and done it extremely well, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can say about Call of Duty, but they have generally done that well. That side of their game is usually done well. I would be interested to play it with friends because with the bots, I mean, I could just be.
Does it not have a campaign?
No, it is as far as I can tell, it is a purely multiplayer game. So you have the training mode where you can go up against bots in single player, or you can play with friends for a cooperative map or against people in general as a competitive map. I haven't gotten a lot of experience with it. I kind of want to try some more of it just to make sure I, you know, kind of look at it. But from what I can see, it's like, yeah, I've already seen this song and dance, and I've done this already. So we need to get together and play Damned as a four man.
We really do.
If only we had the power to text everybody and see if they were available across the ways. That would be might be too much power for us, so though. It might corrupt us from the inside.
Or if only people would load their Steam clients when they turn on their stuff.
Zach.
I was referring to Jeremy, since mine is up more often than not now.
I was going to say, speaking of Insurgency, what I was doing just then was looking up some info about it. It came out in early 2007 and was developed by 4 people, so.
Okay, that's impressive that it did that.
So keep that in mind when comparing it to COD, is COD did the same thing with several million dollars and several thousand people.
Probably. And I'm still going to say exactly what I just said.
Yeah, no, COD's a better game, I think, but.
Well, they did a fairly good job with it. Like, I'm not trying to say it's a bad game, by any means, from what I can tell, having played it for like a half hour. But still, what I can see is that it is, like I said, kind of like COD Lite.
It stands as a testament to what you could potentially do to compete with a AAA game, although it also took them 5 years to develop it, and it's technically a mod of Half-Life, so.
Like everything else.
Exactly.
Not sure why, but technically, I guess.
Because it's a fairly moddable engine.
Yeah, it's an easy-to-mod game with a pretty good physics engine. It's easier to work with than, like, Unreal. It's free.
I think that's why Half-Life got so popular, actually, is because it was easy to mod. Kind of like Minecraft, actually.
Unreal is a graphics engine.
No, it's also a physics engine. It's a game engine, not just graphics.
I don't think it's a physics engine.
Yeah. Totally. Similar to Havoc. Havoc is a physics and graphics engine.
Havoc is a physics engine.
I'm pretty sure Havoc is just a physics engine.
It is a game engine.
Unity is a game engine.
What's Unity?
It's what Starwall is made in, among other games.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah, no, Unity's a game engine, although, man, custom graphics. on that one. Although, I mean, they're Star Walls, so not exactly great custom graphics. But we should play that since the full version's out.
We should. The thing is, I can't imagine the full version is that much better than the...
Oh, no, it's not. But they added a bunch of interesting maps that do things, so...
Anything else you've been playing, Zach?
No, just those. Really, I haven't been playing too much other than those games. Looking forward to getting more games on the new Rift in, because it's new, it's shiny, it's really cool.
And it's still League. So.
Yeah, it plays the exact same. They did a really good job on that, with the exception of the few people who are having frame rate issues.
So what have you been playing, Blue-Haired Bomber Hauler?
Not Mega Man the Freight Simulator. like Zach mentioned, we played some Payday. I like Payday. It's a fun game. Been playing more Smash, unsurprisingly. I've gotten pretty damn good at Rosalina, because this last week's... Conquest has been Rosalina versus Olimar, and why would you ever play as Olimar? I've been honing some guys as Rosalina, which is fun. Everyone always forgets about the Luma, and they're like, I'm gonna get you, and Luma's like, no, you're not, and yeah, anyway. So, Smash, it's been fun. I've cleared about three quarters of Classic.
Surprised you haven't done that yet.
It takes a surprisingly long time.
A lot of characters.
I'm also doing it on the highest difficulty for all of them. More importantly, though, I finally finished The Walking Dead.
Aw, man.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I kind of saw the ending coming. It almost made me cry. Almost.
It's very powerful. What did you tell her?
Like, out of which things?
Like, it's like don't trust anyone.
There's a lot of stuff at the end. I told her to find a group. I might have told her specifically to find Omid and...
Yeah, I did that.
What, does your not a character get aced at the end of it or something?
He's actually a lot of a character.
Yeah, I say calling him not a character is just wrong. He has goals, aspirations, history, motivation. He's almost too much of a character for me.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a controversial point of Lee in the game, is that he's not enough of a player avatar. Although I actually really like Lee.
No,
Lee is a lot
I
like
do too.
Me,
he's just
so.
Not what I expected. Did you get the scenario where, what's her name? Omid's wife, whose name I said
Krista, I think.
Yeah, Krista is like, who's into like boring history? It's just all guys. And like, you and Omid both raise your hand. And she's like, oh, shut up.
That was pretty good. And Lee has this excellent sheepish look on his face.
Yeah. It's like, I was a history professor.
Yeah. No, I told her to grab the keys first, because you never know when you might have to run. I think the gun probably would have been a wiser option. Although knowing that there is a second season in which she's the main character, I'm like, it doesn't really matter what I tell her here. I didn't make her kill me.
I didn't either. We didn't talk about, episode 4 or the end of episode 3. I mean, the end of episode 3 is not super interesting.
Which one's episode 3?
The climax of that one is really Duck.
Oh.
Getting it.
Yeah, no, and I told.
After that, you just meet Krista, basically.
Yeah.
You're like, we're your new, more interesting party members.
And, what's his face? Chuck dies a horrible death.
That's the beginning of season 4.
Yeah.
Or episode 4, rather.
I actually fully expected him to make it, because I'm like, old hobo with a shovel? That guy's gonna live. I mean, come on, he's a hobo with a shovel.
So, episode 4 is the one with Ninja Lady, where do you go to the...
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Communist outpost.
They're not communists so much as, like...
Super survivalists, like Zach would love them. That's where Zach was in the apocalypse.
What, super survivalist people?
Yeah, they don't let kids in.
Yeah, they basically kick out anyone who isn't, like, a functional adult, which is really myopic, because they also, like, mandate abortions, but, like, if you want more people, you're gonna die of old age eventually. You need more population, so.
Presumably they can cross that bridge when they come to it.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I feel like, okay, that is a good point. You would probably want to build a more stable civilization first, especially with the whole zombie thing.
So did you take Clem with you into the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I totally took Clem. It was probably not a great choice, but...
I feel like it's better than leaving her in the...
The house alone with the guy who might die.
Yeah.
That didn't even occur to me, actually. I'm like, you know, she needs experience eventually, and this seems like not a horrible way to get it, because she's got so many people around her.
Did you let Ben fall, or...
No.
I feel like an asshole for doing it, because, like, no one else did, but...
I strongly considered it, because he really wanted to, and it would have been way more convenient, but Clem argued so hard for him, so...
Whoops, my hand slipped,
yeah.
Is how I played it off.
Well, and I seem to recall reading somewhere that if you let Ben fall, then Clem gets mad at you in the next chapter.
I don't remember that, but maybe.
Anyway, so I pulled him back up, and he actually ended up being useful later.
Well,
so.
Yeah, he's on like a redemption kick. That's why he says, just drop me.
Did you amputate your
arm?
That's
what I was going to ask next. No, I didn't.
I did.
That might be useful. You get to dual wield if you don't amputate it.
Wait, dual? Oh, in that one scene?
Yeah.
Where you're wading through the zombies on the way to the inn.
So is Kenny your bro in the end, or?
Well, actually, because I had Ben alive, Kenny died trying to save Ben. Which seems odd given where the relationship was, but, so Kenny is like constantly like holding it over Ben's head in the last episode. Ben finally blows up at him, and Kenny's like, whoa, man, I never thought about it that way. So Ben's like trying to be useful, and then he falls off a balcony. There's like, you get to a hotel room.
I've seen the scene.
Okay. So Kenny goes in and tries to save him, and they get swarmed. Although I think Kenny dies regardless of what they do, right?
Krista falls and you like drop something important down a.
Yeah, it's that hole in the roof, and you're like, be careful. And I'm like,
and like Krista goes down to get it and gets it, and then like zombies are down there, so Kenny goes to boost her up
and then
and
dies
that
way.
A way up. It's ambiguous, but yes,
it's ambiguous the other way too. It's you hear one pistol shot, and it's assumed that he used it to put Ben out of his misery before getting eaten himself, but you never actually see the bodies. So, yeah, no, I totally amputated, which made the climbing to the bell tower part kind of interesting.
Well, I was more asking, did he have your back? Like, when Clem gets kidnapped, that's when sort of the sum of your relationships comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kenny can't abandon you for me. He's like, well, you're kind of an asshole, but I guess you had my back when it was important, so.
No, Kenny was like, you're my best friend, man. Of course I'm going to come with you. No, I sided with Kenny pretty strongly the entire game, so. Partially because he was the only one not being, I know, he can be kind of a dick sometimes, but he was mostly not a dick. I mean, he's certainly better than Larry. Who sided with Larry? Come on.
You're not supposed to side with Larry.
You have the option to, though, so.
Well, I mean, I decided not to drop a salt lick on his face.
I did.
That seemed extreme to me.
He was dead. It's time for new funeral rituals. When people die, smash their head, then you can mourn them. That's why the zombie apocalypse in that manner would never happen, because we'd see, oh, people die and turn into zombies? We should smash their heads and then have a funeral.
That conversation with that guy, though. In the apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
So I made all the choices that were like, yeah, no, I didn't steal from your car, and yeah, no, I'm not a dick. And he's like, yeah, you're a pretty okay guy. Really? I almost feel bad killing you.
I didn't steal from his car or anything, but he's all, use a Clem into a combat zone, and...
Yeah, I did do that. Although it becomes increasingly obvious that his wife's head is in the bowling ball bag, so...
It's still creepy when you look.
Oh, I didn't actually look, so...
It's creepy.
I assumed
there's a zombie. There's a woman's living head in a.
Oh, it's zombified?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it groans at you.
Oh, wow.
How would it groan at you? It doesn't have any lungs.
I assume it. Yeah, that's actually a good point.
I don't know, but it does.
So somebody doesn't know physics or how a human body works is what I'm hearing.
But
someone knows
cool.
effective ways to creep people out.
So I assumed if I looked, Clem would like peek over my shoulder and I didn't want her to see that. So.
Okay, fair enough. Did Clem shoot him for you, or did you?
No, she shot him.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's a choice or if that always happens.
Roughly 59% of people gave up their weapons, and 52% of people had Clem kill them, so I think whether or not you give up your weapons determines whether you were able to kill him. I was too weak at that point to fight him off. I couldn't mash A fast enough, so...
You also only had one arm.
Also only one arm, yeah, that didn't help. So, you can actually kill him yourself, according to the end of the game, who made what decision things.
Okay.
Slightly under half managed to do it.
Also, did you save the girl in episode 4?
Which one?
I mean, there's a point where there's a you have like a not quite quick time event where the like ninja girl, you can save her life by shooting. If you fail though, and Clem is with you, she will pick up the slack and
shoot
the zombies.
Clem did it for
That's
me.
That's pretty cool.
That was so fast too. I didn't have time to.
Yeah.
I could not fire fast enough to save her.
Well,
so.
It's very brief, but you have the.
Good thing Clem was there. And then you get to find out why she's like so hung up about her sister she lives, so.
Pretty good game.
It was very enjoyable. I liked it. I'm more excited to play as Clementine, though, so.
Well, yeah. But that's because she's a character you know, right? Like I said, the problem with Lee for me was I assumed he was innocent, and that's not really true. I made a bunch of assumptions about Lee that...
Turned out to not be accurate.
Yeah, which was an interesting experience. I pretty much know Clementine now.
That's true.
I helped raise her, goddammit.
That is true. Is she with Omid and Krista? Or are those the two people she
know.
Sees at the end?
I haven't started playing yet.
Okay.
I played 500 Days, but it's okay. I mean, it's not bad, but You play as five different characters in very short stories that sort of interconnect.
Yeah, I've heard it mostly forms an interesting bridge to the second season, but not necessary, so.
I mean, it's interesting, but it's not as strong as any of the previous episodes.
Okay, fair enough.
Anything else, or?
Ed actually got me Wolf Among Us.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've considered borrowing it from you.
Yeah, I might have to play that sometime. Well, especially since I really like Fables.
So. Yeah. I've heard it's better than Walking Dead.
But how much of that is
Tall
because
order.
Big B is awesome? I don't know. I had played something else, but I can't remember what it was now. So clearly not that important.
Clearly not.
Jeremy will start talking about what he's been playing, and then you'll remember what you were.
Probably. Oh, yeah,
that is
probably.
True. That tends to happen. So what have you been playing since it wasn't The Walking Dead?
I've been reading lots of RPG books and listening to podcasts mostly. Because I hadn't had much free time. But, well, I tried to find games to play while listening to podcasts that didn't take much cognitive space. So I've been playing Terraria, which is okay. I don't like it nearly as much as Minecraft.
I like it. There are a lot of things in it that I wish Minecraft had, but I prefer Minecraft.
It just doesn't have the same hook for whatever reason. Maybe because there's not as much space to explore.
I think it's actually more that building is less satisfying.
Could be that, too.
The building mechanics are somehow less, even though it's basically the same idea.
Well, like,
two-dimensional is just not as satisfying as three-dimensional.
Well, and the buildings you make don't serve nearly the purpose they can serve in Minecraft.
I've not played either one, so I'm just going out on a limb.
Which is weird since you make housing for NPCs. Like, it encourages you to build more, but, like, in Minecraft you build things because you need them, I guess?
Yeah.
Or because you think they will look cool?
That's Terraria's building for game progression, and there is actually, like, a progression of game in Terraria, which is something I kind of wish was in Minecraft.
I think there is progression in Minecraft, though. It's just not...
The Ender Dragon?
Yeah, you go kill the Ender Dragon and the Wither.
That is true.
And get sweet potions.
Do you have to kill the Wither? I mean...
You don't have to do anything.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Is there a point to killing the Wither?
It lets you get the, like, beacon.
To say you did it.
Also that. Do you not know about the beacon?
I'm trying to think. Is that the thing that actually, like, shoots a giant beacon up into the sky and you can get a temporary buff from it?
Well, it's not a temporary buff. It's when you're within a certain radius of it, you get a buff.
Okay. Yes. I have built a beacon, but it was on creative in our Pixelmon map where Ed and I built the entire, like, Pewter City gym underground.
Yeah, I remember that.
We did have a beacon on top of the Pokemon Center, mostly so we could find the damn thing in the middle of the damn desert.
I played a little bit of that. I played more Rogue Legacy, and you beat that, right, Zach?
No, I never beat it.
Oh, I thought you did.
I super beat it.
Yeah, that game is, like, I want to like it, and there are things I like about it, but, like, the difficulty is so the wrong place.
I kind of ran out of steam in the third area. I will probably go back eventually, but I haven't beaten it as of yet.
I have gotten every single upgrade available. I've actually beaten it so many times that I can't upgrade myself anymore, and the enemies get stronger every time you do a new game plus, so that the enemies all kill me in one hit now, so I kind of have to start over.
The game is so hard that I can't just sleepwalk through it, but it's not so hard that it's really interesting for me to try and play. When I lose, I get frustrated that the game is over and not a good frustrated. I'm not like, oh, I should try that again. I don't know if it's because of the procedural generation of the castle or what, but I stopped caring about dying after a few games, and then I stopped caring about playing.
I can definitely see that, because that's kind of what made me eventually stop, is because it's like, well, I'm dead again.
I can understand that, but I definitely don't agree with it.
I don't know what's interesting about it, is I guess my thing. Like, the upgrade tree is interesting, but... The fact that upgrades get more expensive every time you buy any upgrade.
Yeah, I don't even care about the upgrades. It's all about not getting hit and using the dodge and pulling off ridiculous where you should be dead and aren't.
But, okay, I think it's too forgiving for me to enjoy that, is my problem.
Okay.
Because there are games I play for that reason. This one, like, getting hit once isn't a big deal, so I don't really care about it. And then when I get three times and die, that's three different hits I didn't care about.
Fair enough. So all the hits matter to me, which is might be the difference.
Yeah.
I tried very hard to avoid getting hit at all, although I also lived for a long time with one hit left.
Yeah, I definitely care more then, but then I tend to die stupidly, like I fall on spike pit because I didn't jump. Like I fell faster than I thought I would, or I didn't realize there were spikes there. And
or like, did you ever fight any of the boss remixes?
No.
Those are arguably one of the more interesting parts of the game.
I can see the boss fights being interesting, but like my OCD makes me want to clear out an area before I
do the boss.
Yeah, so I very rarely fight bosses, and usually it's with half HP or something.
The boss remixes are, if you find the obol, it's one of the things you can get from asking the altar for assistance. The next time you go in, if you find that boss and you've already beaten it, you get a specific character against a specific new version of that boss that behaves differently.
That's sort of interesting.
Like, have you done the giant floating skull yet? Alexander, I think it's called.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's, I think, the tower's boss, so he's pretty far along.
No, he's the forest.
No, the forest
is the giant floating skull.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
The Maya is, like, the fireball guy. They look
similar.
Yeah,
that's the tower.
So there's this giant floating skull that summons smaller skulls, and they all shoot, like, energy balls along the cardinal directions. But you're given a ninja who can warp between two sides, so you can place like a shadow doppelganger, then you can log to the other side, and you have to like strategize when you get hit, because everything, both he and his minions, do more damage than getting hit by the spikes, and if you're gonna get hit, you have to get hit by the spikes. And it's an interesting fight. Also one of the hardest in the one of the hardest fights in a 2D platformy game I've ever done.
The only reason I beat that boss was because I had the fire shield.
Fire shield is among the best spells.
Fully stacked lich with a fire shield.
That'll do it. Or else the crows. The crows are fun, but not great for bosses.
And the other game I played since my brother was in town, I bought Hyrule Warriors. And
played
it together.
How was it?
I mean, it's fun. It's everything I want to have a Dynasty Warriors game with a Zelda feel. I think it's slightly better than the last Dynasty Warriors I played, but only slightly, and mostly because the Wii U can process enemies a little better than the 360. You know, not amazingly better, but...
slightly.
Yeah, so more enemies appear on screen. The colors are really nice. I mean, it's everything I want out of a Dynasty Warriors game. And it's also Zelda, like, brought up to that, like, extreme stuff is going everywhere. You're fighting 300 dudes and spinning and using laser harps level, which is interesting to see.
Laser harps?
Yeah, Sheik's weapon is a laser harp. She also throws daggers. Sheik has actually a cool thing where, like, she has three different elemental spells depending on the last attack she did.
Oh, that's cool.
That's odd.
It's pretty interesting. And, I mean, it's fun overall. It's fun to say, we have to go defend the Great Deku Tree and, like, go to the Deku Tree on a map and fight 300 moblins that are attacking it. And re-deads are besieging the Deku Tree and you have to fight them. And it has Zelda-style boss fights in a Dynasty Warriors game, which is a very interesting mix. They skew more Dynasty Warriors than Zelda, but they...
face tank and kill?
Yeah, but they usually have, like, a weakness animation, I guess, a certain time where they're vulnerable. And then if you can hit them enough times in that, you get a cutscene attack, which is different for every character.
So
and that's
like,
cool and novel.
Kind of like the Garahim fights in Skyward Sword.
Yeah, but Garahim, like, was calculated sword play. This is like a boss, like, he has one attack that makes him weak, that's when you hit him,
okay,
sort of thing. And, like, they can go to different control points, like, if you don't kill them fast enough, they'll, like, jump and be somewhere else, and you have to fight your way to them again.
Okay.
It's got a lot of interesting stuff. I only did the first three levels before he had to leave, and we're going to play it more over Thanksgiving, when we both have time off.
Sounds pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's been fun so far.
Still not sure I'd pick it up, simply because I'm not a big Dynasty Warriors fan.
You can borrow
fan.
It from me when we're done, because I bought it on ye olde physical media for that purpose. I only have three characters plus the DLC characters they gave you for free at the beginning.
Who are they?
Just some bosses throughout the game. They are either new villains or one of them is Volga the Dragon, but reimagined as like a guy who turns into a dragon with a spear.
That's cool.
Yeah. The design on it I really like. And, you know, it's perfectly It's weird how good the Dynasty Warriors guys are at melding with other properties. Like
They've
the Gundam one is really good.
At least twice that I know of, listening to you.
Gundam, One Piece, and Fist of the North Star.
Not playing Fist of the North Star, the One Piece one. Hearing you talk about the Zelda one sounds like they did a pretty good job melding those two franchises together, and I know they did a really good job of
Gundam
putting Gundam in. I think two is better than three, but that's neither here nor there.
I just think they worked harder on two. And that's the other thing about this. The maps look lovingly done. They look like they're like, let's make the best Hyrule field in Dynasty Warriors we can. And that's probably been the laziest thing about Dynasty Warriors the last couple of years.
The maps
are
bad.
The map designs aren't great. And they really look like they tried with this.
Sorry, I'm thinking of two being better than three. I was thinking of Battle Assault. I haven't played Gundam Battle Assault in a long time.
Good game.
It is.
Well, not really a good game, but fun game.
It's good. It has unblockable attacks, which had interesting
completely things unbalanced.
Heavy arms.
Yeah, they're fine.
Chip damage for the win.
Rose Gundam. It's the counterpick to Heavy Arms. Although Heavy Arms is a counterpick to literally everything else. So.
Hydra Gundam.
That one that Hydra prevents chip damage.
Yeah, there, Hydra.
The Zeta does too. No standard Zeta Gundam in that, though.
Yeah, it's only
we
the double Zeta,
have to get a game
Zeta,
shard
right?
so we can put it in there.
Although, the reason I was thinking about that is because I've never actually played Battle Assault 3.
It's only Gundam Seed Gundams, which I like Gundam Seed, and...
Only?
Yeah, and it's on the Game Boy Advance.
Including Destiny?
No, or just... it was released before Destiny came out. I think it's got the Wing Zero and the Burning Gundam, too, but... Huh.
So that would be what? Strike? The
Freedom, Aegis, Blitz...
Oh, all Buster, all okay, all of them.
Forbidden, Calamity, Raider...
There are a lot more than I thought there were.
The names they give to mobile suits.
Well, those are the bad. Those are the like bad guy ones. The Forbidden, the Calamity, and the Raider.
I know, but you also have things like Heavy Arms.
It says exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah, Heavy Arms is pretty open.
It's got Heavy Arms.
I feel like in...
I think it's also listed as the heaviest of those.
What was the most recent Gundam I like call? I can't even remember. The Generation one.
I don't know. None of us ever watched that one because Bandai, I think, still has the rights to that, and they aren't making them anymore.
I think they're the G001, the G002, and the G003 in that one.
Yes, that is exactly what I want.
G002 gets painted black and has a pirate patch put on and becomes because the character becomes a space pirate.
What color was it before, out of curiosity?
Blue and white. Gundam colors.
Okay, never mind.
It's the Zeta Gundam, but then it becomes the Pirate Zeta Gundam. And it's amazing.
I see a green Zaku, and I want to paint it red.
Colors now. I
that
want it
was
painted
bad
red.
Bad even for you.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, he said they painted it black, but blue just doesn't... Although green Zaku doesn't really fall off the tongue.
So speaking of terrible things that come from Japan...
How about Got to See Pose, what people yell after they score a home run?
Oh, that reminds me. Naruto's over.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Actually, Alex's sister told me that, so apparently it was pretty good.
It had a pretty lousy joke at the end.
But really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you. It's a visual joke. It was pretty lousy.
So, my question is, who's alive at the end of it? And who's resurrected alive?
Most people.
Because why not?
More people were alive than I expected. I mean, Naruto and Sasuke's arms get resurrected. Spoiler.
What? Just their arms? What?
They lost their arms somewhere along the line?
Oh, yeah. All great ninjas lose their arms when they throw Chidori out of them.
Looks like you've been disarmed. Screw you, Nappa. Anyway, I was talking about baseball, though. Something they don't play in Naruto. Oh, the last issue of Naruto does have a laptop in it.
What?
Well, huh?
It's an epilogue, so.
Okay, I was going to say, they did start using, like, headsets and stuff.
It's years later, but it's weird to see the Hokage on a laptop. Being like, gotta do my ninja work. Battery life of one half of 10 minutes.
It's implied that other civilizations that aren't ninjas are developing new technologies, and the ninjas are like, I'm
they
just going to steal that.
That's true, they do have fridges.
They live in, like, the 1920s and are ninjas.
Anyway. Baseball for the regular Nintendo.
Say something else that came out
not
of the
not good,
1920s.
Moving along.
No, not good focusing on this now. It's not really bad, it's just overly simple.
Did either one of you strike out by hitting a foul ball with two strikes?
No.
No.
I did.
I didn't know that was possible.
It's not supposed to be.
I got the computer to hit a foul ball with two strikes and they didn't strike out.
I was out after I fouled the ball off with two strikes.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Are you sure that someone didn't catch it?
I was going to say that the catcher catch it.
It bounced off the ground next to me.
Well, I mean, they should...
And at one point, I was not called out when the catcher got the ball, stood on home plate with the bases loaded, and threw to second base. Well, his model was clearly on the plate, so...
I didn't have any, like, huh, that's not how baseball works problems.
So, baseball is a game about baseball. You throw balls, you hit balls with a bat.
Pitcher throws a ball to the batter, he hits it. Or misses it.
Yeah, you have...
He runs around.
You pitch and you bat.
And you can also throw to a plate when you're fielding.
Yeah, well, if you're a pitcher, you can try to get someone out.
I was going
to
say...
throwing to the ball.
After they bat, and if you don't catch it out, then you can throw to a plate to try to get the runners.
You have four pitches that are determined by hitting the directional pad before hitting A. Fastball, curveball, screwball, and changeup.
What is it with the screwball?
It's popular in Japan.
Terrible pitch. Anyway, slider's much better.
And then after you throw the pitch, you can determine where it goes vis-a-vis the plate. so you can curve it after you throw it. Pitching is really boring, and hitting is so easy in this game, it sort of feels like you're just hoping the computer strikes out. I mean, you can definitely change things up to fool them, but it sort of just feels like luck because you can't read the computer's emotions.
I never walked a guy. I don't know that you can hit them.
I got a ball once.
Yeah, I definitely got
got a ball when batting.
But, I mean, you can't, like, hit the batter, can you? So you can always just throw it at them and they'll try to swing at it.
Yeah, but if they hit it.
I was unable to pitch. It wouldn't let me.
And you only played it once.
And it gave me, I got 5 runs up and it wouldn't let me pitch in the bottom of the first.
That's weird because I think I was 6 runs up. I thought the mercy rule in this was 10.
Oh no, the computer scored 7 runs against me in the first inning, so...
This game is super tilted towards offense, where you just swing the bat. That's the only thing you control.
If you swing the bat and hit the ball with the end of your bat, you'll usually get a home run. Yay!
Did you actually hit a home run?
Yeah, 3.
I never hit a home run, but I hit all sorts of balls into the outfield, and this game controls the fielding for you with the worst outfielders ever, so I almost always got a double, or at least a single.
So I was playing against Y, and Y apparently had a great outfield team because they were all over that ball. Meanwhile, my team was like, I don't know, I can't go. It was like watching the Three Stooges trying to play baseball. It was awful.
That's what my feeling, and it's kind of frustrating because there's nothing you can do. I just, like, even a speed up button would be better. You just hear this, you know, NES sound effect of running while guys are like, I'm a fat asthmatic. Why am I playing baseball professionally?
Well, you can play baseball professionally if you're slow, fat, and asthmatic, provided you play first base.
Or designated hitter.
Or DH, yeah. You do not put a guy like that in the outfield because he's never going to get there.
I was going to ask, so one of the things you can do as pitcher is try to get runners who are leading off the base.
You can try to steal bases. I forgot about that.
How?
I think it's directional and B.
Okay. Because when I press... Like, one of the buttons swung my bat fast, and the other seemed to make it try to bunt, and that, I couldn't figure it out, so.
I thought two on the Wiimote was a straight-up swing, like, try and hit it out of the field, because that was how I hit the home run, is I hit 2. But then every swing after that, it was like I was hitting Baltimore chops all day.
Yeah, the other swing is, like, it's the exact same animation, but much slower.
The weird one is, if you miss a pitch when swinging, did you guys see this happen? If you missed a pitch when swinging, your guy would still freeze and just have the bat hang out until he hit the button again and he would swing it and bring it back.
The first time I was up to bat, that's the first ball I swung, just hit my bat out like, okay, guy, what are you doing? He's going to throw the ball now. I was trying to take a warm-up swing, bro.
That's actually, if you do the bunt button and get your bat perpendicular to yourself, you can just hold your bat out and then move around, and the pitcher will just throw the ball into your bat for you. And the catcher, like, doesn't ever try to get the... Like, he does sometimes, but usually the pitcher will run up, even though the ball's, like, a foot in front of the catcher, and, like, go and pick up the ball. So you can usually bunt into first pretty easily.
Well, that's what happened to me, is I loaded the bases and scored 4 runs on balls that didn't go past the pitcher's mound.
See, all mine were outfield hits, but...
The computer scored a grand slam against me, and they didn't have a separate animation for that, which is sad.
Okay, so let's compare this to Bases Loaded, the game we played before this because we hate ourselves.
No, I just like screwing with your OCDs.
Well, I think, if nothing else, Bases Loaded is a lot more complicated. You have more options,
There's
if
a lot
nothing else.
More control of the pitching, and it's more like baseball in that the burden is really on the batter. It's easier to pitch than to bat. In this game, Zach didn't pitch because he got won by mercy rule his first time up. And I actually think that's more fun. Like, Bases Loaded was frustrating to me because of how hard it was to hit. Hitting all the time is great. It is sort of the gambler's twilight zone where, winning at gambling is great. Oh no, winning at gambling all the time is boring.
I actually enjoyed Bases Loaded a lot more simply because pitching was more interesting, fielding was more interesting, batting was more interesting because you could fail. Like,
yeah, that's kind of the thing is, baseball as a sport, they haven't done a whole heck of a lot. It's just how you interact with it. But you have to make each piece that is going on at any given moment interesting. Which is what I think these early games had a problem with, is making those levels interesting
because they're both
sides.
Baseball's a sport. People like playing it. I bet if we make a video game about it, people will play it, which, you know, they did, but...
See, I think this game is definitely too simple, but I think Bases Loaded is too complicated. There's too much minutiae you have to deal with when batting. Like, again, because it's digital, you can't really see the tells of the pitcher.
That is true.
They don't really exist. And I prefer the too easy, yay, let's score all the time, to too hard, I'm just going to swing the bat at them and hope it hits.
Well, that's the thing of these older games. I mean, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but one of the games that I played a lot of was the 2K baseball series. And because you jump up to that level, it's okay to have batting and pitching be fairly difficult to do on either side, because you can see how the pitcher's winding up and time your swing much better. But with these, because they don't have, like, the pitcher's windup or anything, because you can't really make it out.
The ball just comes out.
The ball just kind of, you know, he does his little NES sprite animation where, you know, kicks his leg and then fires the ball, and you're like, I can't tell what he's doing. I'm pretty sure he's throwing the ball at me, so I'm going to swing now, and you're basically just hoping. So the level of offense is better, easier, is actually probably more fun on this level.
What's that game? It's a football game, except where you can, like, fire tackle
Blitz
people.
2000 Blitz. Or Blitz.
Is there a baseball game in that same line?
Yes, we've been over this. It's called The Bigs.
Backyard Baseball is also somewhat similar on the Super Nintendo and is well received, but I don't know if it's on the Virtual Console or not.
The Bigs is on the 360.
I mean, that's a very new one. There's also the NBA Jam or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was NBA Jam. As far as I know, Backyard is probably the closest one for baseball. I don't know if there's one for hockey.
Or like baseball, but like super dodgeball style baseball where you could like have specials on your team.
My favorite baseball game is Mario Super Slugger.
I've never played it, but I would probably enjoy it.
We should play it together. I own it. It's fun. You have fire pitches and your like outfielders can team up if they're romantically attached to like do super catches.
That does actually sound pretty awesome.
It's fun. But this game, not so much.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's not like, it didn't make me want to kill it.
I played it for a game of baseball. It was like, I've consumed this product.
I'd have to say this game fanned. Oh. See, that works better if you actually understand the pun. So, when a person misses a pitch, and it's a strike, a swinging strike, he fanned. He missed.
Oh, he blew a breeze over it. that's funny. Like, it's not the worst game we've ever played, but it's also just, like,
it's kind of bland.
Yeah, I mean, for a game of this simplicity, Galaga is way more fun.
Yeah.
Pac-Man?
Pac-Man's a lot more fun.
Well, Pac-Man Asteroids is hard. This game is easy. I was just talking about Rogue Legacy, but like, this is how I feel about Kirby's Adventure. It's way too easy and there's nothing real interesting going on. Honestly, it's how I feel about most Kirby's, but later ones at least gave you Darth Maul lightsabers or the ability to spawn minions with your powers. I haven't played Epicure and I should.
Yoshi's Woolly World looks really good.
Yeah, I really like the aesthetic on it.
Everyone likes it more than I do. I feel like it looks a lot like Epic Yarn. Anyway, wouldn't baseball be a lot more fun if you could consume the balls to gain their powers?
No.
I think it would.
I mean, it's specifically this game named baseball, not baseball in general.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Although,
this game would also be better with Home Run Pinball, but
I mean, there are a lot of things that would make this more interesting, but
all right, so Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
After much consideration, I think I've chosen King's Knight, which is actually not about a king's knight in so much as just like a knight errant.
So is it dark?
Can you summon Queen's Knight and Jack's Knight in defense mode?
Actually, you probably could. Maybe not in defense mode. I think everything's in attack mode. It's an isometric Zelda-like playstyle, except you shoot things instead of hitting them with your sword. So
like Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, it's actually a lot like the Binding of Isaac.
Okay.
Never played that.
It's a good game. You probably wouldn't like it.
Shocker.
Not because I consider it a good game, but because it's really not thematically something I think you would like. Anyway, next time and last time, it's like the Binding of Isaac, except without fetuses.
With more Yu-Gi-Oh! References. What could go wrong? This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick press X. Too late. You failed. Podcast is over. Dangly parts.
Ha ha! You kind of go, eh.
Good visual.
Yeah, it's
for our podcast.